from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 1102. Mark Belusis with you. A Friday midday. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Mix in some other things into the course of the conversation. Been a lot of Giants early on. Manhattan bound we go. It's Scott. It's The Fan. What's going on, Scotty?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Scott. What's on your mind, bud?
Well, you know, it's the Giants. Everybody got the gloom and doom day over with the Giants, right? I kind of agree with you 100% that, like, when was Daniel Jones at his best? Like, whenever he's since he's been with the Giants. To me, whatever it's been whenever he was a running threat any time during the game, right? It opened up the passing game. To me, when he was a running threat, it even opened up the running back game. When he does that little fake dive and he curls out to the left for 15 yards, it just kept the defenses on their heels. Whenever he was a running threat, opened up the passing game, and to me, it just made the Giants a better team. Now, of course, you got defenses out there hitting like sledgehammers, right? So when if he's going to run more, he got to be careful. You got to become one of the best sliders in the game to stay healthy, right? But to me, that's when he was at his best, when he was a running threat and the defenses were on their heels saying this guy could run on us at any time. It just opened everything else up, right?
Yeah, Scott, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think, and that's the big question. Can Daniel Jones stylistically play that way and stay healthy? I mean, and there are going to be people right now that say, hey, Mark, no. I mean, he will not.
Yeah.
There will come a point in time where he's going to get hit. He's going to get hurt. He's already had two neck injuries. He had a torn ACL. That Daniel Jones physically is not going to be able to hold up. And, you know, I would agree that the concern and the serious reservations that are there.
Right.
I think the offensive line is going to be markedly improved, but I'm curious about just how aggressive, maybe not early, but as the season goes along, if he stays healthy, how aggressive that Dave's can be as a play caller using Daniel Jones as a runner.
Yeah. It seems like if he can't do that, if the team's not able to do that, because we know that's when he's played the best. That's when the team's played the best. And if he can't do that, maybe some of the naysayers are right. It can't work. But
I'm going to go to the positive side. Yeah, I think it's going to look a lot different. I mean, without Barkley, it's going to look a lot different, you know, in that backfield. You know, with Devin Singletary now, it's going to be a lot different. And, you know, you could look at and say, well, you know, the respect that the opposing defenses had to have for Saquon Barkley in that backfield at the running back position made life a lot easier for Daniel Jones, and that is fair. I would push back and say, well, the offensive line to me is the key. That would be ultimately the key. And the Giants are not set up in a position where they can take on injuries along that offensive line. The lack of quality depth is a concern. They need their tackles to stay healthy. If they don't, it's going to be a massive issue. Mario, Long Beach. What's going on, Mario?
What's going on, my friend? How you doing? Good show, as always.
Thank you, Mario. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, just a couple of things about the Giants. Do you know that the Pro Football Focus had their roster ranked 29 out of 31 in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Also, Jones is ranked 30 out of 31 in quarterback. So it doesn't, you know, I don't know about that. 6.5 might be a good number, you know, and a lot of things, too. What's really like what you said just before about Barkley is really
Where did
true.
Pro Football Focus have the Giants ranked roster-wise 2 years ago?
I don't know.
Where did they have Daniel Jones really ranked 2 years ago?
I don't know. Do you?
Well, I don't. I don't really pay much attention to PFF, to be honest with you. Like, I don't look at them as being the end-all, be-all in terms of rankings and gradings. I think sometimes when you look at it and you look at some of the people that the individuals that work there, they're not exactly professional scouts. So I'm not telling you don't look at it. You can do it, but I'm not telling you that they're not, to me, the end-all, be-all when I look at Pro Football Focus. And whether or not, because there are other factors that come into play when you're looking, say, at the play of an offensive line, right? Is the correct blitz picked up, right? Are you just looking at it individually, right? Was the line protection, was it changed to the proper protection at the line of scrimmage? So there's things that you need to look at that scouts, men and women that know what they're looking for and how they're grading out players as compared to that. So I wouldn't necessarily look at PFF as being the end-all, be-all to grading out players. I'm not saying that they don't have any value whatsoever, but I don't think the Giants are the 29th worst roster in the National Football League. I mentioned before, I think it's if you were going to compare the Giants to Carolina, you have no idea what the hell you're watching.
Okay, but let me tell you something that sort of actually goes in that direction. If you look at their Super Bowl odds, they're 29th. So that's the same number as
they're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, oh no, not at all.
Yeah, I would never bet the Giants to win the Super Bowl this year. They've got the 29th, best odds to win the Super Bowl. They're not winning the Super Bowl this year.
But to your point, losing Barkley really hurt. And to me, it doesn't make any sense. He's your best playmaker on the team, and they signed Locke to $5 million. They could have saved that $5 million. They could have kept Barkley and kept their biggest playmaker along with everybody else they have. Now, in terms of Daniel Jones, I'll listen to your comments. Thanks for taking my call. In terms of Daniel Jones, he's injury prone. I don't know that he can be running like he did before. It's going to be a real, real big risk. You know, for him to play like that.
But that's how, you know, but Mario, here's the rub. That's how he's got to be successful in the NFL. Whatever grade of success that looks like for Daniel Jones, he's not a pure pocket passing quarterback. He's not going to be all of a sudden, he's not going to be Dan Marino. Like, you have to be able to use his legs. He has to be able to use his legs. He can't be a statue in the pocket. He just can't. He's not good enough. He's not a good enough thrower of the football. Like, you have to be able to use his athleticism, and he's a really good athlete. You know, he's 6'5", you know, when healthy, can really, really, he can run like a gazelle, you know, could throw a good deep ball. There's a lot of things to like about Daniel Jones. The concern is the game is not slowed down, pocket presence, you know, decision-making, all of those things. You know, and that's going to be, we're going to find out together, once again this year, if he can respond. And if he doesn't, then yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of conversation during the course of the year. Maybe DeVito gets a little bit of burn during the course, that we can all relive Tommy Cutlets and go through all that, and his agent, and which was a wonderful story last year. I'm not trying to downplay it, but that to me was a distraction as compared to everything else that was going on with the organization. It was a welcome distraction. The team didn't quit. They responded. They played well. Tommy DeVito played well, but there is a level to the play of DeVito as a quarterback as well when you look at his attributes at the position. Let's head out to Shirley, New York. It's Phil. It's the Fan. What's going on, Phil?
Moose.
Phil, what do you say,
Moose,
buddy?
Huge Cowboy fan. Hate the Giants, Moose. Mm. But I do think they are going to be better this year. I think they're definitely going to be improved. Their offensive line is deep. Their defense, I really like their defense. I think their defense is going to be very good. Neighbors is a stud. I mean, every LSU receiver, it seems like they just don't miss. But my whole thing is Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones is probably the 30th-ranked quarterback in the NFL. I think he's terrible. And I think the worst thing that could happen for the Giants this year is Daniel Jones plays good enough for them to keep him going forward. I think that they need to move on past him, and they need to just get rid of the guy. I think he's what's holding them back.
Is he worse than what's going on in Vegas with the Raiders as a quarterback position? Is he worse than Gardner Minshew?
That's what I think. I mean, are you taking Minshew over him to start? You might.
No, you're not. No, you're
You might take Minshew over him. He's terrible,
no.
Moose.
No, you're not.
You've seen this guy these last couple of years. He's been brutal.
Are you taking Young in Carolina, who was a disaster last year? New head coach down in Carolina. Are
well,
you taking him?
This is the thing with Young. We haven't seen his full potential. I think we know what Daniel Jones is. I think we know what we're getting out of him.
Yeah, two years ago when he was right and things were good, you went to the playoffs and the Giants won a playoff game.
Listen, he's not a $40 million guy. If you want to win in the NFL with him,
he's
got to be making minimal money. You got to have a defense.
What is that? Here's the deal. Like everyone factors in the money. Can you win at the position with him? Can you win in the NFL with him? Does it have to look a lot different than Mahomes and Josh Allen? It does. But can you win? He's already shown you that you can win to a certain level, right? You can. He's already done it. He's done it. It's on his resume. It's in his record book. Look what he did statistically in Minnesota against the Vikings. That's on his record book, right? That he's done it. He's accomplished that. So we've already seen that you can. Does it going to look a lot different? Is he Rodgers? Is he Allen? Is he Mahomes? Is he that caliber of quarterback? No, he's not that caliber of quarterback. I'm not going to debate that. But the idea that Daniel Jones is some stiff that the Giants went out there and gave $40 million to, well, that's just not true either. And the
but Moose is getting paid.
In the end, the money is the money, right? It factored in the Giants coming off a playoff year. You wanted to make sure you brought Jones back. They did. They brought Saquon back for another year. They did. Saquon's now a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that initial year with Daniel Jones, everything was honky dory. Everything looked great.
So you think what's best for the Giants this year would be to scrape, make the playoffs, keep Daniel Jones going forward, and then, you know, build a team around this guy? You think that you could win in the NFL paying Daniel Jones $40 million? I get it. It's money. It is what it is. But in a salary cap-based league, you can't pay a guy that much money. I'm going through that issue with Dak Prescott. You know, we're giving this guy that much money. You need him to play like a Pat Mahomes. You need him to play like a guy that's going to carry your team.
I understand that, Phil, but there are other issues down in Dallas when you're looking at Dak Prescott. The biggest thing you need to look at is what's the percentage that Jones is eating up of the cap? I mean, that's it. I'll ask Pete if he can find that for me, because if you look at it, quarterbacks around the National Football League, what's the cap hit? What's the number that, you know, in terms of percentage? Is it 17%, 18%, 20%, whatever it might be? You know, Prescott's got his own issues down in Dallas in terms of being a big game quarterback. Tremendous in the regular season. One of those quarterbacks that doesn't raise his level to meet the moment come playoff time. That's the issue with Dak Prescott. Are you going to compare Prescott to Daniel Jones in terms of regular season productivity as a quarterback? No, you're not. I mean, Prescott's going to win that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. There's no comparing the two players. But the thing in Dallas is this, as Jerry Jones continues to talk about his age and how old he's getting and not much time left, all the things you've heard from Jerry over the last 2 or 3 years is he wants to win a Super Bowl. And it's been a long time. I mean, it's been a long time since the days of Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer. Mike in Clifton Park, New York, up next in the fan. What's going on, Mike? And I don't think Mike is there. John in Huntington, up next in the fan. What's going on, John?
How you doing, Moose? Long time no speak. The fact that Cowboys fans are calling and complaining about Daniel Jones, they got their own problems. But literally, Daniel Jones, for the 5-plus years we've had him, has literally been looking at the sky because we've had no line to even protect a little bit for him. This has been going back to Eli, even. We've had this issue. And he's only had a top receiver the first year he was in the league when he had 24 touchdowns and 12 picks as a rookie. He had Odell, and then Odell was gone the next year, and then even Saquon started getting hurt after that. So his second, third, fourth year, his fourth year, they went to the playoffs. So the fact that Daniel Jones finally has an average to slightly above average maybe offensive line, he finally has some weapons. I mean, if you look at every quarterback, good quarterback in the NFL, they have a top receiver. They have at least an average to above average offensive line to keep them upright. I mean, Daniel Jones gets cold cocked all day, every day, and he stands in there like a champion and tries to get the ball off. And that, and the reason why he gets hurt is because he does that. I mean, if he can stay upright and they can protect him, I think he can definitely be an above-average playoff quarterback in this league. And that's the way the Giants win Super Bowls is you don't have the super special quarterback, but you got the guy in the big moment can slow it down. Like, he slowed it down.
I don't know. I agree with everything up until the last point. I don't know if Daniel's there. Like, you're talking about Eli Manning. Eli Manning in the regular season was 117-117. That was his regular season record. In the playoffs, in those two runs, Eli was able to raise his level as a quarterback and able to meet the moment, take a beating. Now, the one thing to compare the two, yes, Daniel Jones has taken a beating. Do you realize the Giants last year, that offensive line gave up 85 sacks? I mean, it's almost comical when you think about that. I mean, they allowed 85 sacks with Jones, Taylor, and DeVito. That's how bad that offensive line was last year. Like, that is historically bad.
And if they can fix that and use the weapons with Wendell, Jalen Hyatt, and now Neighbors, you got Theo Johnson, the new tight end, along with Bellinger, and then now a veteran-based offensive line with the guys who played all last year being backups. Now you got some depth and some consistency with it. I mean, you don't need a big offensive running back to really, like, open up holes when you have a guy like Neighbors who's going to take guys out of the box. You know, now you won't have seven, eight guys in the box because Neighbors are going to draw double coverage and you're going to have, like, five, six guys in the secondary worrying about that guy popping off all day.
Yeah, John, so I think you give a good assessment. I think there's things to, you know, there are positions along the Giants that they, I mean, their tackles can't get hurt. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to replace Andrew Thomas if he goes down to some sort of injury. That just, he's irreplaceable. It just is. But there's not many teams in the National Football League that have got a franchise left tackle that you're going to be able to go out there and replace and replicate and not be hindered one in the same. But yeah, everything you talked about where, you know, you win up front, you got to protect the quarterback. We've been talking about it year in and year out. I understand some of the focus has now changed, and Daniel Jones takes a brunt of the criticism, and I get why he does. I'm not a fool. I understand it. I get why Daniel Jones gets criticized the way he does. He's here. He's the best quarterback in the room. And in the offseason, you've seen the Giants switch in terms of where their focus needs to be, winning at the point of attack. That is old-school football, and it still plays to this day. You win with your offensive line, you win with the defensive line. For a number of Sundays, for a number of years, I did NFL Sundays right here on The Fan with David Deal before he left and became a coach over at Memphis, right? And Deal used to talk about the fact that offensive linemen, their mantra was, we are the reason, and he's not wrong. I was asking before, percentage of cap hit for Daniel Jones. Give me the quarterbacks here. Daniel Jones is at what, Pete?
I have two different numbers, but 17.79 or 18.2. It's somewhere in between there.
Okay. Now, who's over 20% in the league?
Joe Burrow is number one at 24.47.
Okay. That is salary cap. Okay. Who's two?
Josh Allen.
Okay.
Over 23%. Justin Herbert, over 23%. Lamar Jackson, over 23%. Mahomes, 22%. Hurts, 22%. Kyler Murray, 22%. Deshaun Watson, 22%. Prescott, 21%, almost 22%.
Okay.
Jordan Love, over 21%. I mean, there's a ton.
There's a ton. Right. Yeah. So where does Jones, quick math there, where does Jones fall on that list?
He's actually about 15.
15.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Middle of the league.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
888-808-1019, your number to call. Mark Melusis with you, in for BT and Sal on this Friday midday. Giants, the big-time theme. This is the last Friday before a big football Friday next week. Thursday, season gets going. Friday, you get a Friday night, you got the Eagles. They're in action. And then Jets on Monday night in San Francisco taking on the Niners. Giants Sunday afternoon out at MetLife Stadium. Pat in Bayside. What's going on, Pat?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Pat.
Okay. Let's superimpose the 49ers quarterback, Brock Purdy.
Yes.
And put him on the Giants. Put him on the Giants and take Jones and put him on the 49ers. What do you think the result of that would be?
I have no idea. Do I think Daniel Jones could play in a system in San Francisco? Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Do I think Brock Purdy is a prod? It's interesting when you look at Purdy. He is not the, and people like to knock what he is as a player. I think you have to have an appreciation for what he is instead of trying to address what he's not.
I'm not trying to knock him.
No, I know you're not, but others do, and it's annoying because it just, you're trying to, he's a kid that, you know, wasn't thought to be this unbelievable prospect coming out of college.
Right.
And he gets an opportunity in San Francisco, and people want to say, well, he's a product of the talent around him. Well, what quarterback doesn't win without talent? I mean, what quarterback doesn't just singularly, solely based on his brilliance at the position? That just does not happen in the National Football League. It just doesn't. I mean, was not Patrick Mahomes stymied by his offensive line, the inability to protect up front when they took on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Absolutely. So, you know, so Purdy is a guy that gets, here's what Brock Purdy's really good at. He understands, number one, he's accurate. Number two, timing, delivery of that system that they play in San Francisco, getting the playmakers of the football, and he's really smart. He has an understanding of deciphering what the defense is doing and the ability to go out there and get rid of it. So those are the things. Is he the most physically gifted quarterback in the National Football League? No, but I think he landed in a spot where, you know, Shanahan has done a remarkable job of accentuating what he can do, and he fits what San Francisco needs their quarterback to go out there and do.
I agree with everything you just said. So I'll just add now that I do believe the Giants will be at best 7-9. That's my prediction on this team. I don't think they have much more than that. Mark, have a great weekend.
You got it, Pat. Yeah, no worries, and appreciate it. And if the whole thing is, you know, would Purdy come here and be successful? Probably. I think, but I also think quarterbacks develop and don't develop based on the system that you land in, and based on the organization you land with. It's one thing to draft a quarterback. You hear Lombardi talk about this all the time. It's one thing to draft a quarterback. It's another thing to draft a quarterback and then have a plan of how you're going to develop said quarterback. What's the game plan after you draft the individual? You might love him coming out of college, might love his physical attributes, his gifts, but then what is the game plan? It's not everybody is just pop him out there and let's see what he can go out there and do. You need to go out and continue to develop it, because the college game, even though there are similarities between the college game and the NFL game, it's not one and the same, as we have seen. Manalapan, we go. It's Anthony. It's the fan. What's going on, Anthony?
What's up, Moose? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
All good. You know, I just, Daniel Jones gets such a bad rap. I mean, I think that Joe Shane's doing a terrific job. We keep forgetting that 2 years ago, everybody wanted Daniel Jones after that playoff win and after the end of that season. And now, you know, it was crazy. Everybody saying the $40 million man. But, you know, now you look at that deal and he's like the 16th highest paid quarterback in the league. A lot of the people behind him are backups or young guys that haven't got paid yet. I mean, I think it's a win-win. Either he looks good and we have, you know, our QB of the future, he has shown flashes, or he doesn't look good and now we have some weapons and now we could draft a quarterback. The way that Jones's deal is structured, we can dump him with minimal damage and go out there and sign some more weapons and draft a quarterback that we don't have to pay for a few years. I mean, I think Joe Sheen's doing a great job. And, you know, I just think this $40 million man, the way that QBs are getting paid nowadays is, you know, it's pretty much a bargain.
Well, I mean, now you look at it, everybody that's a starting quarterback for the most part in the National Football League that has some sort of established presence is getting paid a lot of money. So I don't necessarily look at it, nor do I grade players out based on the amount of money that they get paid, nor do I get upset when the next quarterback that's up for a contract gets paid an unbelievable amount of money and say, well, how can this guy get paid more than that guy? Because that guy's clearly a better quarterback than this guy. Well, it's not, that's not the way it works. It's next man up. That's it. And you better believe that the other quarterbacks around the National Football League and other high profile positions, edge rushers, left tackles, you look at the receiver market. Ayuk finally just re-signed yesterday and signed an extension with the San Francisco 49ers. They're all looking for the next guy to get paid a boatload of money because that just raised the bar another level. So Jones right now, when you look at it, we just ran through it. Percentage of the cap, he's 15th in the NFL. You know, he's not number one, he's not number two, he's not number three, he's 15th. He's in the middle of the road when you're talking about, you know, way quarterbacks are being paid across the National Football League. And you look at Jones this year, he's got to be good, and it's on him. Pressure's on him. And if you want to say, well, I've seen enough, Jones isn't particularly good, that's fair, and you have every right to believe that. But I'll tell you this, I saw him respond 2 years ago. It wasn't a Patrick Mahomes response. It wasn't a Josh Allen response, but the Giants won as a team. Can Daniel Jones orchestrate a successful year this year if he stays healthy? I think he can. Now it depends on how you define it. Well, last year was a disaster with all the injuries that they had, right? And they ended up having the sixth overall pick. If this team is playing competitive football, relevant football, you know, last 4 or 5 weeks of this NFL regular season, I think the Giants right now, they won't admit it, won't tell you publicly, even when asked by reporters, but I think they'd sign on the dotted line for that right now. Is that capable or is it possible? Do I think Daboll all of a sudden can't coach? I do not. Do I think this coaching staff is going to be more like they were year one than year two? Absolutely. And that's where we're at with the Giants. You know, that's, you know, the scenario here with, you know, I get the scars of the past. I get the history of this organization. I understand what's transpired. We've all witnessed it over the last decade. But there are things that are true and there are things that are untrue. Brett in Long Island, up next to the fan. What's going on, Brett?
Moose, what's up?
How you doing, Brett?
All right. 2017, Giants O-line ranked 31st. 2018, Giants O-line ranked 30th. 2019, they were better. 2020, 32nd. 2021, 28th. 2022, 29th. All right. 2023, They were ranked 28th last year, right? I just gave you that. That's factual. That's what they were ranked
They were only 28th
year.
Last year? I thought they'd be worse, to be honest with you.
Because you had the Panthers. I don't know if you watched them at all. It was a jailbreak every day. Then the Washington. You know Washington was terrible.
Washington's offensive line's bad, too, yes. No
doubt. Right, so you had those ahead. Right? But that's my point, right? When people say about Daniel Jones, I'm done with the excuses, but, like, those are legit excuses, man. You got to start looking at how we're drafting. I think they finally got it right. I don't think we'll have a top 10, but we might be 17th, 18th. You got Runyon, Illuminor, right? Some older veteran guys, you know, stuff like that. I think
the new offensive line coach is going to help, too.
So everybody talks about Daniel Jones and focused on that. I haven't heard anybody call up and say what I just said right there. They'll say, oh, the offensive line's there, but, like, I just gave you a stat for 8 years. And in 8 years, we had, like, the top five worst offensive line every single year.
Yeah, and,
right?
You know,
until that changes consistently, then we'll evaluate the guy. Because I don't agree with what you just said before, right? You said Daniel Jones only relies on his athleticism. He's not that guy. He's not a pocket passer. I actually totally disagree because a few times, I never missed a game with him, watched every play. When he had time, and I told my buddy I'm watching it, he hit Slayton down the field on a rope when he had like 3-4 seconds, right?
Brett, hold on a second. I don't think you heard me properly. I said he's not Dan Marino. He's not a pure pocket passer.
Who is Dan Marino? Aaron Rodgers? You're going to use those examples? I'm talking about the guys in the league.
But here's the deal. Brett, Rodgers had escapability in the prime of his career. Dan Marino was a statue in the pocket. Like, Sims was a statue in the pocket. Like, there are guys, Tom Brady, I know he ran sometimes, but there's
not really statues in the pocket anymore.
The point with Jones is you want to be able to use all of his assets and all of his athleticism and his ability to run.
Right, but just to correct you, there's not really Dan Marinos anymore. You don't stay in the pocket. You're not going to make it. The guys in college are athletic, right? Look at everybody coming out. Look at Jaden Daniels. Look at all these guys. They can run. But I'll tell you this about Daniel Jones. It started when Jason Garrett, that terrible Cowboy person, came over and called the plays. And he was doing that bootleg 8 to 10. You could check it 8 to 10 times a game. He was calling it where he basically had no blocking. You can't really slide on that. It's like a trick play. If the linebacker sits there, he's going head first. He's done. And that's how he basically broke his neck on the goal line, right? That's how it started with that guy.
No, right? And Garrett was a miss as the OC. Judge was a miss as the head coach. I think we're in the same ballpark when it comes to pocket passer. We're just on a different street or a different avenue. But you get the point when we're talking about Daniel Jones. Yeah, he hasn't had much help. I mean, the rankings of where the Giants are, we've all watched it. The offensive line has been bad. I mean, last year was horrific. I mean, it was just horrifically bad. Let's head out to Springfield, New Jersey. It's Rich. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, Moose. How you doing?
Good, Rich. How are you doing, buddy?
All right, man. You know, I think that everybody asks a question. A big question is, can Daniel Jones stay healthy? And I don't think that that's a question to ask because his strength, his biggest strength, is his running, or his legs. And, I mean, running quarterbacks, historically, they have a shelf life, man. They get banged up. And what extends the life of some of the great, you know, running quarterbacks of, you know, I'm just going to pick a few, Randall Cunningham or Mike Vick, and I'm assuming it's going to happen with Lamar as well, is that those guys have absolute cannons for arms. So they kind of have the threat that they could run, but yet they've got that cannon where they could be a pseudo pocket quarterback and rip the ball downfield. Daniel Jones doesn't have that. I think if he, you know, he loses that running game, he's going to be a very mediocre quarterback.
Yeah, you can make the argument he's mediocre right now. But, yes, I think he's got to – I think that's what you want to find out. I think you have to be able to use it. And it'll be curious to see how many designed runs he has. It's one thing to have, you know, the play breaks down, escape the pocket, and then run the football if you're the quarterback, right? Because, you know, everything – no one's open, everything breaks down. How many times do you have the designed runs with Daniel Jones, which you saw were really successful at times in 2022?
Right. I mean, in the Minnesota game, I mean, everyone tells that, oh, he won a playoff game. He ran that whole game. That's how he won that game. And
yeah,
I mean, what's the shelf life of him if he does that? Because no quarterback, it lasts when they do that, when they take it to the ground. They can't last. They're going to get banged up. It's historical.
Well, unless you learn how to get down, right? I mean, and those hits, you know, start to rack up and stack up. You saw that with Russell Wilson, you know, up in Seattle, where he had great escapability. He's no longer that caliber of quarterback. Those hits over the course of time start to have an impact on your athleticism and your ability to play the position. You know, Vic carried on for years. Lamar Jackson is still unbelievable. We'll see what Jaden Daniels is. You know, with the Washington Commanders, the interesting thing with Daniels, if you watch his tape down at LSU, like, you know, he wasn't a great thrower on the run. He was great running it. And there's a difference, you know. So when he escaped the pocket at LSU, and, you know, I voted for him to win the Heisman Trophy, and he was the rightful Heisman Trophy winner a year ago, and he was unbelievable last year at LSU and had playmakers all around. But that's going to be the interesting thing for Jaden Daniels in the National Football League is when he runs, being able to avoid the contact, not taking the big-time hit, and can he show himself to throw the ball on the run as compared to what you saw from him collegially.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
11:48, Melusis with you on this Friday midday, 888-808-1019, your number to call. Bethel, Connecticut, Anthony.
Hey, Moose, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Anthony. How are you, man?
Hey, listen, man, I know your kids play hockey. My son plays hockey. Rest in peace to Johnny Goudreau and his family. Just devastating news this morning for the hockey community.
Yeah, it's devastating. Doesn't even do it justice. It is tremendously sad, tragic, awful. You know, right. When you first and foremost, two brothers riding their bike down in South Jersey, get hit by a drunk driver. Both are killed. Their sister's wedding was today. Johnny Gaudreau's yep. wife was to be the maid of honor in that wedding, down in Philadelphia. It's just completely and utterly tragic. It's just awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. His brother played in Bridgeport too. So I had a little connection with that down in the AHL. But on to less mundane things. Sorry to bring that up, but I just had to get that out there. Just onto this whole John Mara and the neighbor situation with Flaherty. You know, it's very easy to say, like, who cares? The guy played 100 years ago. But here's a guy that was a World War II vet, okay? He invented the screen pass. He was instrumental in the sneakers game in 1934 with the Giants. You know, and when you retire a number, you say, this is perpetuity. No one will ever wear this again. And then all of a sudden, neighbors comes along. He wants to wear it, and John Mara calls a family. And allegedly, you know, the granddaughter and some of the family didn't, you know, they were a little apprehensive about him doing it. And finally they catered in and gave in. I just, you know, John Mara with the PSLs, the Geno Smith situation, the record under him. I mean, he's starting to really wear a lot of people thin.
Yeah, but Anthony, if the family okayed it, and I get the point that you're making, you know, and I understand the precedent that it's setting and a number being retired is supposed to be, you know, retired forever, nobody, regardless, and no matter what, you know, it'd be odd if you saw a Yankee wearing number 3 or wearing number 2 or, you know, and all the retired numbers that the Yankees have out in the Bronx. I get all that. Not every instance is one and the same. And if you go through the proper protocols and Ray Flaherty's family gives the okay for Malik Nabers to wear number 1, then, you know, I don't have a great issue with it. I really don't. Now, if it's a case where they were not okay with it and the Giants, which would never happen, did it anyway, well, then I think that's a bigger talking point. I really do. I mean, I think there's something to be said of honoring Ray Flaherty and everything that he's done with what Malik Nabers is going to do on the field. And you know, I think it was Art Stapleton tweeted out maybe one of the Wandell Robinson or Darius Slayton, one of the other wide receivers in that room, you know, had a cool idea. I think it was Art who tweeted this out, saying that you know, the Giants should put the team should put a patch on their jersey this year, 100th anniversary honoring Flaherty. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that would be, I think, a nice step in the right direction. If you're upset with it, I get it. You know, I got to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't even know that number 1 was retired by the Giants. I don't really pay more into, you know, the Met retired numbers, Yankee retired numbers. I know, you know, some of the obviously the legendary lately retired numbers for the Giants. I did not know number one was retired. You know about it now, obviously, and I understand that people are upset that Malik Nabers is wearing the number. I would be more upset if I were you if the family didn't give their okay. They did. And Malik Nabers, you know, called Ray Flaherty's relatives and thanked them as well. It is going to be a huge selling jersey. No matter what number Malik Nabers wore this year, was going to be a huge selling jersey. There's no question about that. Clifton Park, we go. It's Mike. It's the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Moose. Just want to talk a little Daniel Jones. So, you know, I was watching some videos of Eli Manning and Sims. And, you know, when I watch Daniel Jones, and you can, you know, look at the numbers and break all of the numbers down, you know, he doesn't compare Daniel Jones to, like, these guys with the eye test, you know. And my thought is, you know, even if he has a good season, Daniel Jones, even Giants, maybe they have a competitive record. You have an out, you know, to move on, and I would definitely do that. He's not it. And, you know, there's
Mike, is it gotten to – can I ask you, you're a huge Giant fan, right?
Yeah.
Are you rooting for the Giants to lose this year so you can be rid of Daniel Jones?
No. I said even if they have a good season, even if he plays well, I think there's a limit to him, kind of like how Alonso is with the Mets. There's a limit, and you have like the option to kind of move on and do a reset. And that brings me to my second point. It is hard to find quarterbacks now. I don't know what has happened. It's like watered down in college. It's almost like trying to find a starting pitcher, and you draft a starting pitcher, and you just can't. You know, there's just not a lot of good ones that are going to break through. So let me ask you, what has happened to the quarterbacks? You can't draft one. You rarely hit on them. People draft them, and more times than not, it's a bust. So what has been going on? It's like watered down now. So, you know,
I think you go around the National Football League. I think there are quality quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen's not a good quarterback. You know, you run through the list. Rodgers, Tua to a certain extent. We'll see what Drake May is up in New England. Allen, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Wilson questionable, obviously. Deshaun Watson questionable, obviously. But you go around. I mean, I'm not going to bore you and run through the entire list, but you run around the entire league. I mean, there's quality quarterbacks. If you're getting into the idea of, you know, why do teams miss on quarterbacks? Well, I mean, if I had that answer, you know, I'd be a lot wealthier than I am. I've had a lot more money. I'm not wealthy at all, but I'd have money. That's it. I don't know that answer. I really don't. I do think there's a couple things where I think it's got to be a combination of passion for the game. I heard Willie Colon mention something earlier this morning. I think it's fascinating when you're talking about Jaden Daniels with Washington, when they had joint practices, the Jets and the Commanders, talking to people around that Washington franchise, saying it's the first time in a long time, they've had actually have a quarterback that loves football. I think that comes into play, whether or not the game translate from college to the National Football League. Will the game slow down? How does a quarterback decipher the information? Do they decipher it quickly enough? And also, you can't get fooled at times by, you know, what you see against diminished competition in college. Because as we saw with Zach Wilson, that doesn't play. And you got to have a plan. It's one thing to draft a quarterback. It's another thing to have a plan to develop said quarterback.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.